Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What is going on, everybody? Hope you are having a great week so far. So today on the podcast, a guy called Ronnie Spiteri. Some of you probably have definitely heard of him. He is a great house techno producer. I've known his music over the years and always released great music. However, he sent me a DM. When was it? Probably, I can't remember, a couple of months ago. And he sent me his album, which is called Reset and Restart. It's an album that's released on Tronic record label, which I believe is Christian Smith's record label. I am not usually a fan of just listening to like electronic albums personally, because I always kind of find them a little bit boring. However, this album is definitely not boring, and it's quite possibly one of the best albums in dance music that I've, or electronic techno house music that I've heard in a very, very long time. So I had to get him on the podcast. We had a good catch up. Never met him before, never spoke to him really, apart from on text and everything. So it's really good to kind of get to know a bit about him. So without further ado, Ronnie Spiteri. What's cooking? We are live, man. How's it going?
Yeah, all good. Thank you, mate. You?
Yeah, good. Whereabouts? Yeah, I take it you're in the UK. Whereabouts are you?
Yeah, I'm living down in sunny Southampton at the moment. The weather's cracking, so it's good.
Yeah, we're doing lucky in the UK at the moment. The sun is shining, which, I don't know, people moan about it, even if it's hot or even if it's cold. So you're never happy in the UK.
Yeah, we've probably had one of the worst Mays ever. It's only started to get warmer in the last 2 weeks, I'd say. We've had rain for 2 or 3 weeks prior to that. So
yeah, it's something that us Brits just love to moan about, is the weather, right?
Oh, moany anyway, yeah.
It's the best. How's life been in the last year for you?
Yeah, it's been pretty well, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a bit of a weird thing to go on, really. Obviously, last year and a half, no gigs, etc. Yeah. But managed to have a kid, do an album, and redo a house. So it's positives and negatives. But yeah, so we're all good back down here, mate. Thank you.
That's pretty amazing, to be fair. And this is why I wanted to get you on, because I've obviously like played your records over the years and kind of know of you. But like, we didn't really know each other at all, and we'd never spoken and kind of just been like in passing.
Yeah.
And then you sent me an email of your new album, and I was like, holy shit, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, there's not, I don't know, like, you know how it is being in the industry. There's not many times when you're like, you hear a body of work and you're like, you hear the first record of an album. Like, let's be honest, techno albums can be pretty fucking boring.
Like, yes.
Albums for electronic artists, unless they're like doing something really interesting, it can be pretty boring. And I like the first track just got me, and then I was like, okay, I'm in. And then it just kept on giving me what I wanted, and I was like, this is really interesting, because it sonically it all sounds amazing, and then there's no track that's similar, but it's all.
Yeah, that's kind of like you said, the opening track was more sort of intake of like just missing on a beefer, really. Just being sat at a beach at like on the sunrise with a cocktail in your hand, just chilling. Do you know what I mean? And then as it progresses on, obviously, you've got the more warm up, I'd say more of a warm up European sort of sound.
Yeah.
In like mainly like when I was playing at Watergate and things. And then it kind of progresses on for more peak time and then a couple of little bonus tracks here and there. Yeah, but it's gone down really well. I've had so much good feedback from the album. So
it's amazing, man. I kind of like, I want to talk about everything, but I want to start off with the album. Like, how, like when you sit down, did you sit down and be like, I want to write a fucking album and this is what it's going to sound like? Or was it like you were writing a load of records and you're like, oh shit, this all works together as a body? Like, nah. What was the process?
So obviously, my old manager, Neil Evans, hooked me up with Kristen Smith, who was doing the Tronic Nights at Eden. Mm-hmm. So I actually played for him and played a lot of my music, and we kind of hit it off. Booked me for a few more shows back in Eden, and I did have other stuff lined up before pandemic.
Yeah.
And then I was just obviously took it off with Christian Smith and just speaking to him. The Tronics, even as a techno label, they do put a lot of chunky house music vibes to it. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, I was chatting to Christian on WhatsApp. I was like, man, I'd love to release an album for Tronic. Yeah. What's your thoughts? And he was just like, 100%. So it was something that was set in stone already. And then it was just about developing the right sort of sound that kind of complements techno, but then me on it. So, you know, as agreed the album, then I went away for probably, I don't know, it must have been about a year, just hammering tracks, firing tracks to him backwards and forwards, little things he thought sounded good. Was like, you know, I think this may sound better. But yeah, that was kind of the initial thing with it. Just kind of the album was agreed, and that's just, you know, I had a hard year of just hammering the studio. Don't get me wrong, there was probably the amount of tracks in the album, there was definitely more tracks that was made to come up to for the album, but they were definitely after a long process of elimination, them ones were definitely the ones I wanted to keep to present everyone. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cause it must be tough when you're doing a techno album, because it's literally just techno records. Right.
And yeah, this is the thing is, I have this chat with quite a lot of people about my sound. And if you ask someone in house music, they'd call me techno.
Yeah.
Then you ask someone in techno, they'd call me house. So I'm always in this sort of limbo balanced, you know.
I had a conversation with A Vision yesterday. And I think that is the thing that, like, it just depends who you talk to.
Yes, exactly.
Because
there's been demos that I've sent, oh, I won't name names or labels and things, but there's been stuff that I've sent labels and friends, and they're like, mate, that's amazing. It's a little bit too techno. And I'm like, okay. And then you know, if I'd send that to a techno label, they'd be like,
it's too house.
Too house. So it's just like, you can't win, can you? So I just think now I'll just stick to making the stuff that I like. Doesn't get signed or it goes out of my label. I've got good music that I always play on my set. So I'll just kind of make music for myself, you know, but everyone always kind of has this techno house viewpoint on it.
What's your label called?
Kenja Records, it's called.
Kenja?
Kenja, yeah. So, yeah, the label's been going nearly 7 years. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's just good. It's just, I don't really have a specific thing for the label. Like, you know, 1 month I might put something really deep out,
or
more melodic for, you know, a day pie, or then I might put something a bit more tougher out. It's just, I don't really have a specific sound for the label. It's just stuff that, just general good music that I like even to listen to. I might put something out. It's just different. Just keep everyone guessing all the time, you know?
Is it do you release other people's music on there, or is it just yours?
Yeah, yeah. So with ads, I've got coming up, I've got two EPs of mine going out with Steve Lawler remix and Josh Butler remix. I've had previously last few months, I've had Oscar Al release an EP with an Alan Fitzpatrick remix. Yeah. I've had Darius Sorsin on the label. I've had loads of artists on the label, but the label's quite, it's not that well known. So I kind of like it that way, if I'm honest with you. It kind of keeps it under the radar a little bit, makes things a little bit more exclusive to people that actually follow the channels, you know?
I think it's like less pressure as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's not in, don't get me wrong, I think we probably put releases out, once every 2 months.
That's cool.
Keep it possible. And then, like I said, just, 1 month might be a bit more of a tougher EP. Mm. Next month I might be into something that's really chilled that I like to listen to when I'm going for a jog or something like that, or you're at a day party. So yeah, it's cool, mate. It's good to have that balance, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think how do you find having your own label? Do you like enjoy the process of being able to release music whenever you want compared to
that
record label?
I have got some the release I've got coming up with Josh Butler, the All On Ear tracks. I've been playing it for a few months and it is big, and I get to dictate because of the whole pandemic thing now.
Yeah.
I've got stuff booked in, but if I need to kind of like put something out or feel like it's relevant at that time, I'll get to do it. And there's no waiting around. Like when you go to other labels, obviously a lot of the labels that I work with are friends, and if, sometimes they might bend backwards to get something out for me. Normally the whole process, you're looking at like what, minimum 7 months for a release. So it's good to be in a position to dictate, and it's good to have my own outlet. I'm independent. I haven't got to rely on someone to say yes or no. If I think something works, I'll get to pick if it goes out or not,
I think that's the thing for me is, and people must be bored of me on this podcast that listen to it, because I just literally say the same things. Like, just fucking start your own record label. It's like, there's nothing, you don't need anyone else then. You can literally do that.
That's what I did start it initially, because many years ago when I started to make music, you probably go back on like Beatport, my first tracks there, you look back to that and you're like, what was I thinking? But at the time, it was a good outlet for me to progress as an artist and put music out, because let's be honest, then many moons ago when I was putting out demos that probably weren't that good, a lot of people no one knew who I was. I was just always gonna get no. So it was a great chance for me to build up my profile and progress for the channel and make all the connections that I have done now. So
yeah, I think it's key. You guys have got a good little crew down in Southampton, haven't you?
Yeah. There's a little crew, there's quite a few of us now.
Yeah, who's down there now? Because I know Alan.
You got Alan, James Abidi lives in Southampton.
Oh, is James down there? I didn't know James was down there.
Yeah, James lives about a 7-minute drive from my house. Alan lives about 10 minutes away. Southampton's actually got quite a lot of cool artists.
You got Reset Robot down there.
He's from Portsmouth. He's from the other side.
I thought he was in Southampton for some reason.
Nah, Reset Robot and Ash. So on We Are The Brave, you've got me, Alan, Ashley and Reset Robot. And obviously, Pompey and Southampton, everyone in the football knows a big rivalry. So Ashley and Reset Robot from Portsmouth, right by Fratton, and then Alan from Southampton. So there's all in the Brave group chat, there's always banter going around with the football and stuff,
Hell, let's loose. That's cool, man. So with this album, I want to go back to it. I want to talk about the intro track because I fucking love it. I was literally just listening to it again. What's it called? Sorry, I'm shit remembering.
Open Eyes.
How did that start?
That's just like, so I bought a synth, I bought a new Dave Smith, the Prophet synth, and I was playing around with it, and I was just finding all these mad pad sounds, and then of the album, I just wanted to do an intro, and we just come up with some hooks, and we're just playing around with it. And I just wanted something, like, before anything, it was just the pads that was in the sequencer, just on its own as the idea, and we kind of just built it around that. I just wanted something to listen to. I just feel like with that sort of track, you can literally just put it on repeat on a loop, and I'll listen to it for, like, 20 minutes, and it just puts me in a good headspace, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
When I listen to it, which is kind of the vibe that I wanted.
No, I love it. It's amazing. Did you spend much time in Ibiza? Did you used to live out there?
No, but I didn't live out there. I'll probably go there, not as much as every other DJ, but I'll probably do between 8 and 10 trips a summer.
Okay,
there. Cool. Not always gigs, like, I love a party.
if you've been doing it for years? I'm just trying to think if our paths have crossed, because I used to live out there years ago.
No, I think the first time I went, I used to be a resident of a club called Junk in Southampton. A lot of people in the UK will have heard of that.
Yeah.
So the first time I went out to Ibiza, I was when I was about 20 years old with Junk. Yeah, so I kind of, that was the first time I remember I went to a Carl Cox event on my own. No one wanted to go. Went missing for 2 days and then came back. But yeah, so I've been going out there for a lot, you know, a good 11 years now. Yeah. And obviously as it's progressed, just meeting people and you know what it's like, you go out there, hang out, then next time you go out there, you're meeting that person. It's just Ibiza, isn't it?
I know, it's mad that it's going to be 2 summers without any Ibiza.
It's loads on, man. Absolutely missing it. So, now, me and my mates have just booked. My mate Neil Evans is doing, obviously, Amnesia.
Yeah.
And they're doing that 20-hour closing pint in October. So I was like, put it straight in the group chat to the lads who have all just booked a week out there for October. If it goes ahead, hopefully, which I'm sure.
I hope it all goes ahead, man. So are they just doing closing parties this summer?
I think, I don't know, Neil messaged me on WhatsApp, the flyer, so I was like, yeah, so I've just, like, literally, so it's just a one-off event, I think. Well, I don't think they've got more events there, but that's the event. So it was a 20-hour party with Jamie Jones, I think Adam Baylor's playing. So I just said to all the lads, like, let's just go over, book somewhere for a week and just, you know, get stuck.
It's going to be mental. If that actually happens, and that's the first party the Brits are allowed back in Ibiza, it's going to be fucking...
dangerous.
The hell is opened.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's all good.
Drug dealers heaven out there, then. That's what it would be.
100%.
Yeah, man. So have you always been in Southampton?
Always lived in Southampton, yeah. So I grew up on a council estate called Millbrook. Mm. Pretty much, yeah, just lived there, kind of hung around there. Not really, you know, since I was about 20, that's when I've started to venture out a lot. But yeah, just pretty much been hanging out in the estate for ages.
In the ends.
In the end, yeah, working with all the lads. I'm a bricklayer boy, obviously, trade. So, obviously, going in, I used to work in the gang with all the lads. And then there's this like transition period where I was getting more and bricklaying stopped. And then now I'm back bricklaying.
I bet you've been fucking slammed during COVID, though.
Yeah, so I actually bought a house just outside the estate now. So I bought the house and I've just been renovating it, really. I've done a lot of the work myself and obviously pulling in favours from left, right and centre, which I'd imagine when Ibiza opens back up, everyone's going to be on me to repay the favour. But yeah, between me and all the lads, I've just built like a pretty much an extension. Obviously what you see now, you can't really see it, but all around here is my studio behind me, is my TV, cinema room. And so I've been doing that, working bricklaying, obviously being a... Well, I wouldn't say full-time dad, but definitely a part-time dad. So yeah, it's been loads, been really, really hard, but really enjoyable. It's kept me a bit focused. So
I think COVID has actually been pretty good for a lot of people.
Definitely reset button for me. I think do you know, like if you're gigging and touring quite a lot, kind of get wrapped up in it all. And you know, it's definitely nice to just kind of hit the reset button. I could do with going back out now, but at some point it was nice, you know, really refreshing just to actually take a step back and just be like, breathe a little bit, you know. So it was it not as a good thing, but it was nice to actually just kind of be at home with the family and relax for a while, which is good.
Yeah, I think it's it is like a big reset, but for me, I was like, it's really helped me evaluate absolutely everything I was doing and being like, okay. When I go back to things, I'm not doing that, or I'm doing more of that, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. It's just
all over it all. I feel that's how I feel now with it all as well.
Yeah, and I think like obviously you and I are very fortunate that we're fit and healthy, and we've got a house over our head. A lot of people have had it a lot worse, but I guess if we in our situations, I think it's actually been more of a positive than a negative.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I agree, mate. It was, like I said, it was nice to, you know, at one point before the pandemic, I had that many gigs in May. I was actually going on tour with Alan for the whole month. And I was coming back, and then like 2 weeks later, my kid was due to be born. So I was a bit like squeaky bum, you know?
Yeah.
But to be here and, you know, experience it all and then come back, do the house, spend more time with the family, weekends. Obviously, the second lockdown was quite hard because it was proper restricted.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a nice back garden to do hanging out and things. But, yeah, it's definitely a good time to reflect. But now I'm ready to push back on with the shows and things like that now.
Have you been out at all or anything, like, since?
Out as in partying?
Not partying, but just, like, restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I actually went a day or two ago, 2 days ago, took me, my two kids and my missus to an Italian restaurant, which halfway through the dinner I said to my girlfriend, I was like, do you know how nice it is just to be sat looking out of a window and smashing a bit of garlic bread and with the kids, do you know what I mean? And then I started feeding my little girl, I'll give her a lime, and she was chewing on it, going, her eyes were going along. This is nice. Nice to get bonding time.
It's just so different, isn't it? Because, like, my parents live next door to me. In when I'm in the UK,
yeah,
and like for the whole year, it's like I've been with them, I've cooked for them like every single day, and like we're like super close anyway, and it's just it's been nice to be able to do that. But yeah, we all went out last night, and even though you're with the same people, it's just different when you're out, and
it's different
energies. Yeah, it is. It's different atmospheres and different conversations come up, and it's just like. It's so weird that we haven't done that for so long.
Yeah. You almost take it for granted, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I feel the same, definitely.
And then I went to the pub the other day, and I don't even drink, but I went to the pub the other day, and it was awful because it was just like, you're still not allowed to do anything. You're still not allowed to, like, see people, really. You're still, like, it's just like, I was like, I'm not going back to a pub for a long time.
It's, do you know what? I went out Saturday. It was one of my mate Callum's birthday. So it was about 15 of us lads went to this cocktail bar. We just sat outside on the front just drinking cocktails from like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But even then there was like six to a table, space out. It's just like, what's the point? It's just going to take someone's back garden, mate. Like,
exactly.
It's whatever, isn't it?
Oh, and it's so much cheaper.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
So
yeah.
Much cheaper to just like all just... Sorry, anybody that owns a pub that's listening, but like it's just go to the local Tesco's or whatever, get some beers in.
But at the same time, it is probably hard for people that own the pubs and run the pubs to stick by the guidelines, even though they probably feel the same we do.
Oh, mate, they're just ticking boxes. They're just ticking boxes, and I get that. It's like it must suck so much to just tick boxes.
In other words, just get on with it, Boris, and let everything go.
Just fucking open up.
I know.
We need to get... I'm heading back to the States in like 13 days. Well, when this goes out, it will be in like a week. But I've got to go via Mexico for 2 weeks because English people aren't allowed in the States from England. And you're just like...
You've got quarantine in Mexico for 2 weeks.
I don't think there's such thing as quarantining in Mexico, but quarantining. But yeah, and you're just like, this is, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining that I have to be in Mexico for 2 weeks chilling, but I'd still rather just go straight. I'd rather spend an extra 2 weeks here, get more work done, like have some more time with friends and family and then head out. And it's just like political shit.
Yes. Well, to be fair, man, I think I'd rather be sat in Mexico Beach somewhere chilling, quarantining.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Have you got shows booked in or anything?
Yeah, I have. Funny enough, a lot of stuff I've got. What have I got? You caught me now. Right, so I've got loads of shows in Southampton. So obviously I'm in with the crew in Southampton, so I'm playing with Jamie Jones at a warehouse party, Hobson 72 at a warehouse party. I've got a garden party with me and Darius Sorsian. I've got a garden party with me and James Avelia. I've just had a few bookings coming in from up Scotland and a few coming up from Manchester. So our authority is starting to get filled up now, which is nice to see.
That's awesome, man. How good is James as a DJ?
Yeah, nuts.
It's fucking mental.
I have a headache watching him sometimes, the amount of time, the amount of buttons. Just like, it's just crazy to see, mate. It's something that someone can do that, what he can do.
When I used to live in Ibiza, I used to work for a production company that we did all of the podcasts for We Love Space.
Yes.
On Space Sundays.
Yeah.
And he was obviously a resident there. And this, when was this? This was 12 years ago.
Spaceship set up.
Yeah. And he'd like come in and like, he'd have his like chaos pad and a load of other things. And that, this was before like you DJ with computers as well. And like anything like super technical. And he'd just come on and just like blow the roof off. And I'd be like, who is this fucking dude?
I know. Like, just way ahead of the times he was. Way ahead of the times. Massively. When you watch him, when you actually watch him live and you stood like, obviously I've played with James a few times. Mm. You just find yourself just like staring into what he's doing. Just, you know, and you're looking at him. 1 minute he's there, that side. Next minute he's that side. Next minute he's there. It's like, you know. But it's just... He just blows everyone up all the time. It's good.
It's mental. I wonder if the crowd actually ever know what he's doing or like ever appreciate it as much as we do.
I don't think they'd understand how much is behind and on the level of what he does. Because obviously in the crowd, it could be, you know, as far as you can say, you're just there enough. But until you stand behind and see it all and watch it, and you're like pinching yourself a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he's fucking great. I haven't seen him for years, though. I don't think he'll even recognise me. I didn't have a beard when I first used to work with him. Oh, man, I miss it. I miss it so much. That's cool, though. Shows are coming back.
Yes.
It's going to be nice to be back on the road, isn't it?
It will be nice to be back on the road. It's been nice to actually play. Because obviously I've got the album that's come out.
Mm.
I've also got probably another 6 or 7 tracks that I've made that are sat there now. Which I really, I've played them out at some, you know, social distance events and that, let's be honest. It's
not the same, is it?
Yeah, exactly, mate. You know, you can kind of get a vibe. You might get a couple of people might crouch up like that on their chair. Like, yeah, all right. But you're never really going to know until you play to a packed crowd. So I am looking forward to actually, if it happens sooner, to just dropping some of the new ones and seeing how they go down before. Or make any edits or changes to it or something. So it'd be nice.
You should do like an album party, mate. Just do like one in each city and just like play the album.
Yeah, so it would be nice if I could get it all in now. It depends. But
it's a fucking great album, man. Like, I'm going to be talking about this album for ages. It's really fucking good. It's like...
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thanks.
It is really, really good. And I'm... not a lover of
it's not like hard to people please with music. My music, I just find there's always everyone's always got an opinion and puts it in a category. Then it's just weird, isn't it? Music, it's an opinionated thing. There's not a right or wrong answer to it. One person likes, one person don't. It's music.
So, yeah, I think there's like, for me, there's a few albums like Justin Martin's Ghettos and Gardens. I don't know if you know that album. It came out.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
10 years ago? Maybe even longer. If you haven't checked out, check out. That is like one of the most iconic dance record albums outside of like Chemical Brothers, Faithless, like Aphex Twin, like outside of all of those. It's kind of like, for me, the one of the ones that was like, oh shit, this is unbelievable. And it's like really hard to be an art, a techno house, whatever artist you are, and because everyone's so used to your singles or your EPs, right? Everyone's just like, oh, yeah, it's just
chunking
another thing. Will Clark record, if you know what I mean, and you're just like, this. It's really hard to get people to convert to being an album artist.
Yes, it's very hard to like you're saying, track selection on, like you're saying, there's a wide range of genres in the album, but yet to still make one person be interested when you're crossover to each bit.
And I think also, I don't know, what's your thoughts on like the streaming platforms on how people listen nowadays? Because I'm the worst for it, especially listening to like, if going through trying to find records I like, I'm like, literally like 5 seconds. If I like the kick drum, if I like the first groove that I hear, I'm like, okay, I'll listen to this. That's if I don't, I'm out.
I do, if it's exactly the same, even when I'm listening to, like you said, music, as soon as you click it, you've got 3 seconds snap to listen to the groove, or a sound might pop out, and then you think, oh, okay, then you kind of give it a chance. But in that split second, if you don't hear a sound or groove or the way it's kind of written, you're just like, next. Oh, I'm pop out. I'm the same, mate, with
it. And then I get mad if my record's not doing well, and then I've got to sit back and look at myself and be like, well, hang on a minute, I don't give the music the time in the day in the first place, so why do I expect other people to?
The other thing is, I find that there is a lot of music, however you want to take that, there's a lot of music out there which kind of, you I just think nowadays, because there's so many artists and up and coming artists that kind of put out music, everything, there's a lot of stuff that sounds the same.
There's a lot of shit out there, mate, just fucking say it.
There is, but you know, but that's an opinion, isn't it? Like, what I think's rubbish, someone might think it's good, but I just find now is I'll only follow select artists, and I'm like, you know, I'll only certain channels unless something gets presented to me, like, oh, you might like this or something.
Yeah,
I've just got a core sort of people that I'll kind of go to now, just because there is a lot of shit out there, and you know, if you are going through bits and bobs. You could be sat here for 20 hours going through tracks and maybe not even hear fucking one thing that you like, or you could go through 5 minutes and might find 10. It's just, it just gets a bit much sometimes, doesn't it?
the promo emails, they're just a world of their own for me. I just don't, I'm terrible, and I'm bad because I like it when people listen to my records on promos, but then I'm like, I can't expect anyone because I don't go through my promos.
I prefer it when an actual artist, like, I'm on the obviously big promotional companies getting the things, but you listen to, but obviously, you know, you go onto your homepage and you've got like 100 demos, or 100 promos that go through. I prefer it when someone actually will send you something specifically, knowing that, that Ron might be into that.
Yeah.
Off to him rather than just do a send to all and then, do you know what I mean? So I think there's ones that are a bit more personal sound. That's what I do. If I'm sending off my own promo, which I've got to select people on my, you know, notes, the email saved, I won't send that promo off to, you know, the 50 people I've got. I'll go through and think, oh, that's, you know, if it's a bit tough, I'll send it to Alan. And then if I make something a little bit else, I'll probably might not, or something out of that, I might not send it to him, that sort of way definitely goes a little bit more.
I think that's just how you also build relationships up in this industry. Is like, I don't know about you, even like with you having your label and me having my, I've not signed a single person to the record label yet. It's just been an ego fest for me and just releasing my own music. But it's the music that I get sent for the record label, 99.9% of it, no one's listening to the actual record label. They're just listening, they're looking at oh, it's Will Clark's record label, his records do reasonably well, I'm going to send him my record and hope signs it.
I had the same thing, obviously Alan put the remix out on the label for Oscar, and all of a sudden I started to get load of heavy techno flying, which obviously you expect is Alan, but then it's like, well, if you actually look at the label and go for a bit of a backlog, you see it is versatile, but at the same time you'll see it always kind of sticking to just kind of a bit that sort of
straight,
direction.
The fashionable techno.
Yes, exactly. I think sometimes younger artists need to don't worry about what names are on a label and actually release the, you know, if I've got, there's actually some labels on there that I'll buy music that probably no one's heard of.
Mm.
You know, and I think if you buy music off a label and you're playing it out and you're making that music, don't matter what name's on that label, you just kind of shift, you want to be part of that because you play that and you make that. So
100%. I yeah. totally agree. I think, again, I was talking about this the other day. I think nowadays, because what we do is so commercialized,
yes.
and we have Instagram and there's DJs putting pictures of them flying in private jets, people fucking want that. And what it's that very easy go-to is like, okay, so I want to be Alan. I want to be Adam. I want to be you. I want to be whoever. And how do I, what's the quickest way to get there? Yeah. Oh, write records like them.
It's not anything, you know, you come in fast, you go out fast, or often, you got, it's just a, you know, it's a slow process. I've been releasing music for 7 years now. It's only really been the last couple of years that things have really tipped off for me. I'm not really doing it to get big. I enjoy just playing clubs or making music. If you get booked, you get booked. If you don't, you just keep working harder to progress in what you want, whatever direction you want to go in. I think everyone's got to have their own path. I think they've got to have markers on where they want to, you know, kind of focal points. But I think everyone needs to be doing it on their own.
I think it's, I don't think it's just music though, is it? I think it's life. Like you don't, like, let's say for instance, Brick Lane, you don't, the first brick you lay, you're not going to be fucking good at it, are you? You're going to be shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you go back through, like I said, my beatport, you can go and listen to the first track I made to where I'm at now. You can see the whole progression in it all. And that's what it's about. It's about progression, whether you're right or wrong. If you're progressing, then you're doing the right thing, I think, over a course of time. Definitely.
Yeah, I think just, I think with how popular DJing has become and how fashionable it is, I think you create a lot of fodder with that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I agree.
It's a bit shit, but what's your go-to label at the moment?
My go-to label at the moment.
Yeah.
I'll be honest though, I'm not
listening.
Well, there's a lot of the labels I'll put music out on to. I feel, you know, I'm really into Alan. Obviously, I'm not. Like the brave stuff Alan puts out, tougher stuff on there, but then he put a bit more melodic stuff out there. So, you know, I'm not really into the really big, tough techno sound. I'm not. It's not me. And that hence why I'm in that category. But, you know, I'll always go to Tronic, Brave, my label, Knee Deep in Sound. Like, you know, Knee Deep in Sound, amazing for doing daytime vibe parties, mate. You know, that is definitely a go-to label. You know, Save Records for the housier side. Yeah, these are labels. It just all depends on if you're listening to music or what time you're playing, where you're playing, who you're playing with.
Yeah.
You know yourself. If I'm playing at an event with Alan at a warehouse party, like say in Manchester,
you got to bang it out.
Alan, I know I'm playing at a certain thing, so you know I'll have a category of labels where I think go there. Then say if I'm playing with the other year I played with Hot Sensei 2 at Elro. And I was playing before him, then you know to go. Oh, I'll go and play a bit more slower, chunkier stuff. I'm going to hit them sort of thing. That's just all depends when and where, really.
Yeah.
You got.
Definitely, man. Definitely. I was about to say something, and you know when your mind just goes completely fucking blank. Oh, yeah, that was it. Do you play, when you play, do you play any of your own music, or are you an artist that doesn't like to play their own music?
Hence, this is what I got in with Christian Smith. Pretty much played at Eden. I think I played before Pig and Dan. Pretty much played all my music and all the music that I played and all getting signed to Tronic because there's a one signed stuff. So I like to probably, it, like I said, it depends as well because obviously my music is, the stuff I put out is normally like, if I was getting booked to headline a show, that's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
If I'm playing, it all depends. If I'm playing a day garden party, obviously I don't make garden party daytime music.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't play a lot of my tracks, but if I'm playing in the evenings and I'm getting a relatively good time, then, you know, it's a lot, say 80% of the music people hear and is more or less my music. Yeah.
It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
It is a nice feeling, especially when you like, you know, you know you're going to drop a certain record, three or four tracks, and you're trying to build the crowd up to that, and you do it, and then you get the reaction, you're like, fucking hell, aren't. Or sometimes it might be a track where, obviously, I'll make some tracks that are just fillers, that just keeps the groove going to get to that point. And even sometimes you play that and unexpectedly it's going off and you're fucking out. But where's this come from? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the thing is I, and I'm terrible for it when I'm in the studio. Like, I don't know about you, but I struggle to write groovers now because I want a success out of every record.
And yeah, I know what you mean with that. It's hard to kind of sometimes just keep it there.
Yeah, and that's like this, like going into the studio, I'm like, oh, I need, like, or I'm writing a record. I'm like, how can I make this bigger? And I do writing for some other people, and I was actually having the same conversation with somebody I was writing for yesterday, yeah. And they were like, their manager was like, the first drop in the record is like almost an anti-climax. And I'm like, exactly. That the record was written for an anti-climax on the first drop. So when the second drop comes, it's like...
Goes off. Yeah.
But I think nowadays, where music is at this moment in time in house, techno, tech house, I think what's expected is just everything's a banger.
But do you not think that's the whole point of having an EP, a tour track? This is my view on it. When I have an EP of a late, like, say if I was to send Daily Hot Society 2 something for Needy, or send him a couple of tracks or a track, and they say, yeah, I'll have that. So then you think, oh, that's, you know, and he'll say, we'll have this as an A-side. And then you think, well, that's the main track now. Yeah. Now I'll get to experiment a bit and don't be so like, oh, this has got to do well. You get to just then make a cool groove or whatever to go with that sort of thing. So I think that's why it's good to have a two or three track EP, because you don't have to have three A-sides. You have your A-side and then have something that kind of leads up to an A-side. So I think it's quite important. Yeah.
I guess for me is the thing that I struggle with is maybe that I know I need to work on myself is like having a record that doesn't do well, that just kind of just gets fucking lost in the abyss of music.
Too much music out there for star. That's probably everyone's fighting. It depends what tier everyone's fighting for that same position. But I don't know. I just think if you're happy with the track and you know you're getting a good response out of the track, I don't think you need to worry about how it charts and does and that. If you're getting
I guess the thing is with me with releasing, because I have released EPs on other labels, but on mine I haven't ever released an EP, and I don't know if I will unless I do an album. Yeah. But purely because, like, we spend a lot of time on making music, and we make music because we love it. We don't do it for the financial success, but we do it for people. Well, for me, I write music to make people happy. Whether that's when they're doing the dishes or whether in a club, like whatever, wherever they're listening. Yeah. But there's also that business side of it as well that you kind of can't ignore.
Yes, no, I'll totally get it, mate. It's got to be financially viable for you as well.
So if you're spending a week on a record and then you get like...
Yes, disheartening, 100%. It's music.
But again, it goes back to what you were saying, is that it's just everyone's opinion. And I guess that's the thing, is once it's a good attitude to have, is once you've released the music isn't yours anymore, it's the people's.
It's also funny as well. So, like, say if, I don't know, look, back when everything was flying, you know, you always see an Amnesia Marco Corona video of him playing Sunrise, sunglasses on, the whole crowd. And, you know, there might have been a track that no one's ever heard for, and Marco's dropped it in. All of a sudden, no matter, everyone's opinion's irrelevant because Marco's played it.
Yeah.
That's it. Do you know, it's mental, mate. It's a mental thing. But, yeah, so it's...
I think with lockdown, we haven't had that. So it's put everyone on a super level playing field.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, like that's the whole point of the whole album name, is a reset and restart. No one's bigger than anyone at the minute because no one's gigging.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the same boat, aren't they? So obviously people are bigger than, so I'm just using that as a, you know, a DJ. Everyone's coming back. And that was the whole point of the reset and restart, because everyone's had to reset and restart, including myself. So... Yeah.
No, I like it, because I know quite a few people that COVID has boosted their career massively, because they started as this before COVID, they were kind of like being introduced to the scene, And then they've like found a niche where they've been doing like mad live streams, or they've been doing just like loads of crazy shit. And now they're fucking massive.
Yeah.
And I think they would never have got big
if they wouldn't do that.
If there wasn't COVID.
I was watching a come up on my personal Facebook the other day. I don't know, I can't remember his name, but Skeezer just like strapped the
Suet, his name is. What a fucking legend.
Just see him running around London or wherever he's from, just mixing. Probably's never even played in a fucking club. And he's just running around, he's just, you know, being creative, and everyone's jumped on it, so fair play to him.
I had to go deep into the archives of what he was like before COVID. I want to have a conversation with him because he seems like a fucking legend.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But he was just like a standard resident DJ trying to get around, like we all did at the beginning. And he's done this one niche.
And it's took off. It's kept everyone entertained, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's smaller, our face watching him and giggling, you know?
But I think that's what we forget, right? Is that why are there DJs? Why are there music producers? And it's to entertain. It's not about anything else. It's like back in the days in Chicago, and you wouldn't see the DJ, but people would be fucking raving and they'd be having the best time of their life. It wasn't about the DJ. It was about the records and the environment that were being played. And I think entertainment, to a certain extent, has actually got lost, where people go just to be seen. And
do you know what I can remember? Sorry. I didn't realize I had that on. Now, just an interview. That's because I've got my Reason software still on the keyboard. I can almost give myself a fucking heart attack. Fucking hell. There was a club back in the day called Junk, and people would actually go to the club, and they were booking Jamie Jones now before Jamie was even big. But people would just go to the club, and the queue would be massive, and people would go to the club not even knowing who the headline act was. Mm. They were going there because they just relied on the music, because they knew the environment and the scene and that was just always the same sort of thing. So I think that has been lost. I think, if someone... Obviously, now it's different because I think anyone could put a show on now after the pandemic and it's going to sell out because everyone's just gagging to go and have a rave. But, you know, post-pandemic, I think that, you know, there'd be a lot of venues that was just to announce a date with no acts, like no revealing who's not playing and would sell out. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago when I was coming out, everyone would just go to the club because it was playing that music all the time.
Well, I think that's it, isn't it? And I think about this a lot, and it's like, how do we create a night where it's actually we're putting up, by having this conversation, we're putting ourselves out of business, but it's it's like, how do promoters create a night
where the vibe, because promoter can create the vibe as much as DJ by, you know, not saying that promoters don't create the vibes, but I'm just saying, like, back in the day, there were a lot of people, I don't know if it's more to do with the internet now, but everything, like you're saying, is more on Instagram, everything's more visible. Because back in the day, it was Dayglo Flyers and things like that. So that might play a key factor in it.
But I think promoters used to, like, be the ones that knew fucking everyone. And
And I agree, 100%. Like, you'd go to the geezer promoter for a ticket. You know, you wouldn't ask a DJ for, I don't know, guest list or something like that. It'd all be down to the promoter, wouldn't it? The promoter is the go-to man. So it's just mad, mate, how the times have changed and all.
I'd love it if promoters, after, like, when things open up, because I think they can have the power to do that, where they can actually start building real interesting brands again, and kind of it not be about the DJ, but also, but by making it not about the DJ, it allows new artists to come through.
100%. Yeah, just basically, look, you're saying investing in the up and coming or people that haven't heard of, you know, there's other I think it's hard for a promoter as well, though, because at the same time they're there to make a living,
of course.
It's their commercial, not commercialized now, because everything's just more expensive than that now, you know. The promoters want to earn the money and the whole financial side of it. But yeah, it'd be nice to, like, you know, if not a promoter or promoter, was to book acts that people didn't know, book them over a course of 2 years, and then, you know, that act can be massive in that city now. I don't know, it's just times have changed, haven't they? Massively.
Massively. I'd love for it to somehow come back. Like, I'm trying to plan some stuff in Detroit at the moment, because that's where I live when I'm in the States. And I'm trying to like work out how can we give back to the community of Detroit by not relying on headliners to keep.
Look, residents, when I was going up, when I was coming onto the scene, it was all about residents. It wasn't about headliners. You know, don't get me wrong, the headliners obviously at some point helped out, but it was just always about having residents at a club. There's, you know, I don't know if it's around from Southampton, but there was obviously a few clubs here, and a lot of the time they would just have really good residents. Mm. Like even lads from London would just be residents in Southampton. They'd just come down, and you'd have the same residents. So they'd have like 10 residents that all get like a fair shout over the course of a month. And they're just playing. They just all built this own sort of energy to the club. I think that's kind of missed, that having a key core of residents all the time.
Being a resident used to be the thing. Now you're just the fucking warm-up DJ.
Yeah. Warm-up's the most important part, though.
It is, but I think newer DJs don't necessarily look at it as the most important part, because they just see the headliner. It's just like everything, right? It's like you just see that
hands in the air.
You just see that success. So now you get majority of warm up DJs slamming it and fucking everyone over.
Yeah. You know, when you go into a club, I don't know about you, when I go into a club and I want to have a pint and just tap my toe, bob my head and have a little mooch and see what's happening.
Yeah.
Don't want to go into a club and be like full throttle, do you? Just want to be back and just have a chat, catch up, and kind of all go in with it. So definitely, I would say the whole night's important, but warm up, I think, to get the crowd going, ready for the next act, definitely probably the most important part of the night, I think.
Yes, it's an art, definitely. And I think there's still some amazing residents out there that do great jobs, and I would just love to see it again. Just like a night or a few nights in each city, just be who they are, and like, we are like the best house night in Bristol.
And just, so obviously in London they have it all, don't they? But obviously the Fuse and even like Abode and things like that, they've got all their own residents that they've built up from places and that, and they've done more out of it. So it's still there, I think.
Do you think they still rely on headliners though? Obviously, I think the brand is big enough that they don't need to, but I think they still put headliners on too.
Yeah, they still. Yeah, I think they all. I think it's that you have to nowadays though, because it's just like you're saying, it's not everyone's at it now, and there's shows everywhere, so I think it's key to put headliners in. But I think it's the key to have your own solid roster of residents that you supply with the headliner, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I'm cool with headliners though. Keeps us busy. keeps us going. Mate, we've just done nearly an hour.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let's wrap this motherfucker up. Thank you so much for being on.
The invite, mate, definitely.
Before we go, how can people listen to the album? How can people follow you and all of that?
Yes, you can follow us on, you know, all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and the album's out on all stores. So,
and how do you spell your name, just for the people out there?
What, last or first? Or both.
Both.
RONNIESPITERI, Ronnie Spiteri.
There we go. I would have balls that up if you asked me people. So.
Nah, nice one. Thanks so much.
Dude, thank you, man. And let's hopefully catch up when we're back at it, and it'd be great. Let's write some music as well. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, cool. We'll keep in touch now, right, mate?
Keep nice safe, one. Mate. See you soon. Thank you. And that is a wrap. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. Please give us some comments. Tell your friends if you enjoyed it. Get them to listen. It keeps the show going. Thank you so much. Speak to you very soon. Big love.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.